Our reading this morning may be found on page 504 of the Church Bible. It's taken from the book of Esther, chapter 4, and beginning at verse 11. Page 504. All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Please do take a seat. I'm also grabbing a seat. I'll need that in a moment, as will become clear. So, as has already been said, since the beginning of September, we've been working through a series focused around evangelism, what that means, how we can do it. Yes. Sorry. Something in that sounded like, "Hey Siri." Sorry. Not sure what it was, but there we go. But she was chatting to me from my pocket. Today, we're going to have a look back at the journey we've been on since the beginning of September. But as is my custom, I'm going to throw you a few more practical insights and a bit of a reflection from what, for many of us, is a familiar account, a familiar story about Esther that we heard earlier on. But before we start, I'm going to get you to play a little game with me. Is that all right? About 50% of you. Okay, good. I can work with that. The game is called, it's called Stand Up If. I will also amend this to stand up or wave a hand in the air. And I shan't suggest any criteria for doing the latter one. But the purpose of this game is that if you fill the criterion that I put on the screen, then I'm going to invite you to stand up and be identified. So, it might be a bit uncomfortable, it might be a bit, some of them might be slightly on the nose. If some of them really do sort of hit on a point of past pain and you really don't want to stand up, you know what, that's fine, I will let you off that, okay? But are we all ready? Yeah, 50% of you again. Good. Right, okay. So the first one, and this is why I needed a chair as well, is to stand up if you have ever injured yourself doing something, in quotes, unwise. So I'm going to stand up for that one. Yeah. Oh. I don't know about you guys, but certainly a lot of mine started with the phrase, "Watch me jump this." And unfortunately, they did. You can sit back down. Oh. Actually, I should flick on to the next one. That way you can stay stood up if you fulfill the next one. If you've visited four or more continents, so Europe, Africa, South America, you know, the continents. Oh, we're a well-traveled bunch, aren't we? Okay, next one. Have you played competitive chess? Yep. Yep. Was it four of us? Okay, lovely. Good to know. Good to know. Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that I did pass first time is perhaps one of the greatest travesties of the system. If you have deliberately eaten an insect. Yeah. Oh, a few. Ah, there we go. It's the future, apparently. Get on board now. If you were ever given a detention, not a class detention, I mean like a proper one. Again, I've probably never caught, but never mind. Okay, thank you. You can all sit down. Now, I perhaps didn't choose anything too cutting in that selection there. Well, it depends how you feel about those particular things. But I wonder, the act of being asked to stand up and identify yourself as part of one of those groups. How did that feel to you? Now, on some of those, maybe it was a little bit uncomfortable to admit that you failed to pass your driving test on the first attempt. Maybe, potentially, it could make you feel vulnerable to identify and to stand up. Any sort of nods of agreement from the congregation? Being asked to identify as a member of a group can be uncomfortable and make you feel vulnerable. It's down to 10%, but I'll take a sort of take agreement on that. But what I want to suggest to you, it also offers the opportunity for, is the opportunity to share some more of your story. I think we're all wondering what Liz got a detention for at school, aren't we? I don't know. We'll find out about that. Or what did people injure themselves doing something unwise? Was anyone else looking around and going, I wonder what that was? Or am I the only nosy one here? Don't know if the four of us are planning a competitive chess semi-finals at any point, but there's the opportunity that's arisen now. We know who fits into these areas. Oop. And the last one is perhaps less so for the examples that I've given, but a chance to claim some identity, to stand up and say, yes, that is me. That is part of who I am. Injuring yourself doing something unwise is part of who I am, but it's perhaps not the key part of my identity that I'd like to share a lot. And we're going to unpack some of these values, some of these consequences to being identified and standing up and standing out as we go through this morning. But as promised, a little bit of a look back at the journey we've been on so far. So if you can remember back to the beginning of September, it feels like a long time ago now, as we march towards Christmas with an alarming pace. But we look back at how we are all called to share, and that the principle underpinning all of that is prayer. That is what comes first. Following on from that, we looked at what evangelism is and what some of the hindrances and barriers might be to us telling people about Jesus. After that, we looked at the power of connection and connecting well. So I've summarized it by being intentional. So deliberately having conversations and what it is to listen to someone else and to hear them, to recognize where they're at. Then we looked at looking for the opportunities that exist in everyday life, praying for them and recognizing them when they come. Moving towards the end of October, we looked at how everyone has something to share. All of our stories matter. Whether we feel we've got a dramatic conversion experience or whether we feel our story is more ordinary, it all matters. It all is important. It all points to Jesus, no matter what your story is. Then we looked at the gospel in a nutshell. So how can we succinctly and clearly communicate the core of the gospel to someone else? There were some lovely illustrations that were looked at, I believe, about bridges. And at the All Age at the beginning of this month, I shared on how it's a shared journey, that we're not alone when we do this. We're supported by our church family. We can practice on our church family as well. And that is what brings us to this point today. If you feel like you're not familiar with any of those, certainly the earlier ones are available to listen to on the website. And incidentally, if you're listening to this on the website, hello. Do drop me an email, youth@allsaintsmarcham.org. Genuinely, let me know you've been listening, how it was for you. Go for it. We're looking at this Esther passage this morning. For many of us, it's a familiar story. The Jewish girl who becomes a queen, whose king brings about a law that will endanger and will kill and will eject her people. And her mentor, her uncle, suggests that she is the one who is placed to stand up and to fight this injustice, and in doing so, identify that she herself is a Jew and put herself in danger, not only from the law, but from petitioning the king without being asked as well. It's a story many of us will be familiar with, but I think it's got parallels to our look at evangelism today. We have someone who is in the position to act, but has some barriers in their way. And you can see my little image of here of someone standing inside their zone of comfort, deciding whether to step outside. Looking back at these key words from our task earlier and the life of Esther, was she uncomfortable with the task before her? Certainly. Does it put her in a place of vulnerability? Most definitely. But is there opportunity that resides within it? Most certainly. And in doing so, her identity, where she's from, who she is, who she looks to in times of trouble, becomes clear. Now, if you look back at the passage, there is a small part of it that says, basically, that it could be that help, salvation, and relief from the Jews could arise from somewhere else. And perhaps we feel like that with regard to evangelism sometimes. Someone else will say something. They'll hear about it from someone other than me. So, I don't feel comfortable with this situation. I'm not going to act. But the verse continues that maybe Esther came to her royal position for such a time as this. And it may well be that you are placed in your workplace for such a time as this. You're placed in that geography lesson that you don't really like so much, but you have to go to anyway, for such a time as this. You're waiting at a bus stop for such a time as this. Whatever it is, maybe there is a greater purpose behind you being there. Maybe there's a conversation that was meant to be had there. And I just want to drop in a little slide here that many of you may have heard. Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. Often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Pretty much universally agreed that he said nothing of the sort. And even if he had said it, his actions were very much not in line with that, because he used to speak at great length and great eloquence about many things. Hands up, has anyone sort of come across this as a phrase that's been said? Yeah? And the spirit of it, basically, don't let your faith just be words. Back it up with some action as well. And let your good deeds shine before men, and they will know who has sent you. I don't agree with that. I don't disagree with that undercurrent whatsoever. However, I think sometimes we might hide behind an idea such as this because we are uncomfortable. We don't like the vulnerability of standing up, stepping out, and speaking words. So I just throw that in there as something for us to be mindful of, and myself in particular. So, we've done a lovely season on evangelism. What happens now? Let me just suggest something of an order based on the sessions that we have done. Okay? For everyone, this is going to look incredibly different, but I bring this to you for your consideration. Firstly, what are the opportunities that exist for you? So we've already heard about the potential new village cafe and all the opportunities that that might bring. But in your everyday life, what are the opportunities that exist? And how can you step into them? Well, this is what brings me on to my step-by-step process. It all starts with prayer, as we've said before. Praying for the opportunities, praying to recognize the opportunities, praying for the courage to step out and step up when they come. Secondly, being aware of what hinders you. I myself can get really quite nervous in social situations. I don't like to broach new topics and things particularly. But if I'm aware of that, if I know that, I can act deliberately in a way that confronts that rather than a cycle which just perpetuates. I can give you a lovely secular model of avoidance theory and how that reinforces itself in psychology if you like, but I won't because it's not really what I'm talking about. But come see me afterwards if you want me to draw your diagram. And it leads us on to identifying the clear opportunities that are in front of us. And then to share our own story. Our own story has value. We know it. We know our story better than we know anything else. It's genuine. It's our story. Sharing the gospel in a way that can be understood. And finally, sharing with the family. It's not something we're called to go and do alone. The earliest disciples were sent out in pairs. We ourselves have a big church family around us with whom we can share encouragements. We can share the times where stuff really didn't go well. But we can be with each other in those moments. Throughout our whole series, we've kept coming back to this one statement. It's been a theme that's underpinned all of the resources, whether the preacher at the front has mentioned it or not. I know I probably haven't. But it's been underpinning a lot of the material and a lot of the rationale for what's been going on. Be yourself with God and others. It's not about us being fake, being something we're not, trying to live up to someone else's method of doing things. We're seeking for a genuine outpouring. Bringing ourselves into line with what is in our God-given nature to do. We're made for God, to be with God. It's natural that we should share that with others. So be yourself with God for the benefit of other people around you. Equally, though, I think the reverse is true as well. To be yourself with others. Genuinely standing up, being recognized, sharing your story, sharing the gospel, and doing that for God. I think those are both true and worthy statements. Next week, we bring our series to evangelism, our Lust for Words series, to a close with a session that looks at the prayer, which, as we've said today, underpins everything, originates everything, and is present all the way through. So, as I close today, I would like to pray. Lord, give us the eyes to recognize the opportunities to share you with those around us. Give us the courage to stand up and to step out. Help us have the wisdom to know what to say and when to listen. Above all, help us to be the people you made us to be. Help us to be those people before everyone we meet in the world. Amen.
This Sunday used to be called Stir Up Sunday because of the collect. And if you'd like to know the history of Stir Up Sunday, see me afterwards when we're having coffee. I'm going to start with that old collect as part of our prayers. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that we, bringing forth the fruit of good works, may be richly rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord, the name we honour above all other names. We acclaim you, Jesus, our mighty King, on this your special day. Jesus, you are the one who rose triumphant from the grave. We ask for grace to live as worthy citizens of your kingdom of justice, love, peace. You have given us an everlasting dominion and a kingship which will never pass away. Stir us up to proclaim this truth to our neighbours, to those with whom we work, to our families, and to our friends. For all Christians, dearest Lord, who follow you and honour your name, stir us up that we may make your kingdom a reality in every part of the world. For the peoples of the nations, stir us up to work together to bring an end to hunger and to want. For ourselves, stir us up to show by our lives that Christ rules in our hearts. For the sick and sorrowing, stir us up to let them know of God's precious peace and healing. For those in our land affected by the severe flooding in the Midlands and further north, stir us up to give help in any way we can and to demand relief and comfort for their disrupted lives at this time. We are aware of the fruits of the Spirit, dear Lord. Help us to put aside self and self-interest, that in practicing love, peace, joy, gentleness, and self-control, we shall make the world a better place all around us. Stir us up that it may be so. Look kindly, dearest Father, on our plans for the Advent and Christmas celebratory activities that we are organising in the days ahead. May they be the right ones, Lord, that show love and compassion, that show happiness and unity in our church family. Give to those organising an event strength and the peace which only you can give. Help us to be aware that in the next few weeks it may be difficult for many people. The sick, those walking the path of sorrow and grief, those whose family lives are fractured. As we make plans to reach more of our villagers in the community hub, may we be aware of each person as a soul loved and cherished by you, their Heavenly Father. So we put the coming week, Lord, into your loving hands and ask that you will give us all the determination to spread your name across our hearts and across this waiting world. Amen.